in another 20 or 30 years, mm-hmm. in what different way, for example, will we be living, if you're right, and how differently might we be living if Dr. Hansen's correct?
Okay, well, if I'm right, I think we're going to see some modest warming in the coming decades, and I would hate to say anything beyond a few decades because I don't think we know what energy source we're going to be using in 30 years. But I would predict modest warming enough that we could little enough to where mankind is basically going to be able to adapt to it, although there will be negative effects in some areas, you know, a net negative effect in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
If Jim Hansen's right, it's going to just keep warming, and, you know, in another 50 or 60 years, we're going to have some serious problems coping with the change in climate, with the rising sea levels. You know, it's going to get to the point where some man-made structures along the coast, the low-lying areas, will have to be abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is something that's going to be occurring, even if it does happen, over a long period of time.
But not really. I mean, you know, when you're talking about, say, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, that seems like a lot of time to a mortal man, because we don't last that long. But in the wider sort of whole Earth-type picture, I mean, you think of things happening in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years.
Well, yeah, there's no question that if this were to happen, if this does happen, if Jim Hansen is right, it is happening faster than the Earth has ever, let's say the Earth has ever seen it before. I'm pretty skeptical of what we know has happened in the past. I think we have a hard enough time trying to figure out how the heck the climate system works in the last 100 years, let alone figuring out what happened 10,000 years ago based on sediments in some remote part of the Earth.
All right, well, that brings on another question. How good are ice cores in telling us what has happened in the past?
I don't trust them. I think there's too many assumptions built into all that, but, you know, you can get an ice core expert on here that'll, you know, tell you a totally different story, and I'm not an ice core expert, so I'm probably not a good one to ask.
I suppose they would say it's as good as fingerprints or something.
Yeah, probably. I mean, everyone likes to think that their area of science is, pretty nailed down.
Well, they sure do. They sure do. We'll talk about that, too. But why do you think ice cores don't tell the detailed story that the experts in that field believe?
I think it's possible that when you get down to the through the lower layers of the ice, where these layers that they're measuring become very thin, I think it starts blurring the distinction between what they think is annual layers, things laid down by season, versus individual storms,
right,
which would really reduce the time scale of the events they find down there. So that's what has me skeptical.
Well, if they look back, I guess, in ice cores in certain places, they can see when something apparently hit the Earth, an asteroid, and probably wiped out the dinosaurs, some scientists or most.
Well, but that's all indirect dating, too. I think the only thing we have good dates for is known volcanic eruptions in specific years. You know, let's say a volcano back in 1532 or something, when we have historical records of what happened. Otherwise, all you're doing is replacing one dating technique with another, you know. So the whole 65 million year thing, I don't trust a whole lot either.
Uh-huh. Okay. How good are our current satellites in terms of helping us try and decide who's right about this climate thing? How much, I guess they're of large assistance, right?
Well, of course, that's the area that I've worked in for the last 15 years. John Christie and I did the first global temperature monitoring with the satellites. But
yes,
that only goes back to 1979, so it's only like 26, 27 years, which is pretty short for a climate time scale.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't help too much. What satellites really help us do, and this is with a bunch of different satellite instruments, is to understand processes on a global basis, because it's the only way we can get truly global measurements. And to understand the Earth, you really got to have global measurements. Satellites are really the only way to do it, so they provide some really unique measurements. They can't do what you can do from the ground, they can't provide the detail that you can get from a weather balloon, but at least you got the measurements everywhere on the Earth. So they really help us improve our understanding of how the climate system works. I don't think they're that good at telling us how much it's warmed or not, partly because it's only 26 years. And as it is, you know, what the satellites are telling us now is roughly consistent with the surface thermometers. That's a finding that's going to come out in the coming few months that you'll be hearing about in the news when it comes out.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of information not exactly public yet.
Right, right. Yeah, it's, you know, that for a long time there's been this issue that the satellites have supposedly disagreed with the satellite or with the surface thermometer data.
Yes.
And the conclusion from a panel of people that are working on this, and I can't say too much, is basically going to back off on that quite a bit and say that...
It is consistent.
Yeah, well, to within, you know, our ability to measure these things. You know, there's errors in every kind of measurement, whether it's the surface thermometers or satellite data. So within our ability to measure these things, you know, they're probably not inconsistent.
What was the argument, Doctor, of those who were arguing that there was an inconsistency between the two? What were they trying to suggest?
Okay, the argument was that the way we understand the atmosphere to work on monthly or longer time scales over big areas, if the surface warms, the troposphere, the lowest part of the atmosphere, let's say the bottom 10 kilometers, should warm at least that much. In other words, the warming gets amplified with height in the atmosphere.
Right.
And what we were seeing was the opposite. If we took the thermometer data and the satellite data at face value, it looked like the satellite was warming much less than the thermometer data. We were the only ones for a long time, John and I, that did this global temperature monitoring. It was a kind of thing that was too important for only to have only one group work on it.
Sure.
So there's a group of researchers out in California that we know very well that have also worked on it. And in the last 8 years or so, they've found two errors in how we did adjustments on the satellite data.
Mm-hmm.
And we've corrected for those errors. They've come up with their corrections. We both get answers that aren't too terribly different from each other and sufficiently close to what the thermometers get, to where you really can't say that, you know, there's any kind of stark disagreement between them that would suggest that we really don't understand the theory,
right,
of how the warming at the surface should be amplified with height. But I was never one to buy into that being a huge discrepancy in our knowledge anyway. It was more people that were really into the, you know, finding whatever argument they could against global warming theory kind of latched on to the satellite data.